From JMO Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Phil Jobs, you got some good news for us?
Well, I have, but very quickly though, Mike, before we talk about Jobs, this is the last day of Andrew Kelleher from JMI Wealth, that name being honourably retired tomorrow. So tomorrow,
are you changing your name tomorrow? What are we going to call you?
Well, Mike, historically you could probably call whatever you want me, but tomorrow it's going to be Andrew Kelleher from Shoreham Partners Financial Services. So we bid a fond farewell to JMI tomorrow and start an exciting new era with a new name.
I look forward to it. I will practice my delivery overnight and present it to you with alacrity tomorrow morning.
And enthusiasm, alacrity and excitement.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Jobs, yes. This was Phil Jobs yesterday. And I've been thinking all night about how to characterise this, Mike. So Phil Jobs, 4 August. This is data from the IRD filings. It's high-frequency data. Let's start with the headline number, 0.2% for the month. Now, breaking it down, unfortunately, here's the thing. These numbers almost always get revised down, and there were historical downgrades right across this data yesterday. So the picture really being painted now is of a jobs market that's, I'd say, it's just hanging in there, really. If the jobs market is to improve, it's coming from a pretty weak starting point. Here are the numbers. Year on year, Phil Jobs are down 0.7%, so they're not going anywhere quickly. And if we look at this whole year, if we look at all of 2025, after all these historical revisions, outside of August, there's only one month that shows a positive number, January. Since then, we've had flat or very small declines. So 3 months to August, minus 0.1%. The total level of Phil Jobs, 2.4% below the peak in employment we saw back in March 24. Now, Mike, there are many conclusions you can draw from this sort of data. I'll just call out a couple this morning. This data suggests there's still plenty of surplus capacity in the economy, and that completely supports further monetary policy support. And secondly, I'm now trying to avoid the term green shoots, Mike, because I think the green shoots have been overdone and we're waiting for green shoots. Green shoots suggest something that comes out of the ground and keeps going. I'm now replacing that with the term flickers. If you're looking for flickers in the economy, when you finally see them, don't expect the flickers to become a roaring blaze straight away. Now, we can fan those flickers with the breeze of monetary policy, but the recovery will be gradual. It'll be slow and patchy when we get it. We will see it next year, but it's not just going to take off.
Okay, Sinlay, I'm reading yesterday. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Yes, they're selling. Yes, they lost money, but they seem bullish. They've got a plan. Fair or not?
Yeah, I think that's fair. So, and look, the positive thing here is this is great activity in the rural sector. So a further act in the Sinlay saga announced yesterday as part of their 12-month results announcement to 31 July. And spoiler alert, what did the market say? Well, the share price is up 15% yesterday to 81 cents. So that tells you what the market thinks. The announcement yesterday described as a defining moment for Sinlay. It sold its North Island assets, so it's the Pocono manufacturing facility, plus they've got the company site in Auckland, $307 million. That will significantly reduce debt. Remember, debt was the big problem for Sinlay. Importantly, at the moment, it also looks like all of the jobs will be protected. The buyer, Mike, Abbott Healthcare, they're a current client of Sinlay, global healthcare leader, listed on New York Stock Exchange. They've got to get OIO consent and shareholder approving, but Bright Dairy said it will vote in favour. They've got almost two-thirds of the votes. The financial year result was better than expected. Underlying result was a small profit. This is on the same day, Mike, that Fonterra also released a whole bunch of details about the sale of its consumer division ahead of the shareholder vote for that. The takeaway for listeners here this morning, Mike, activity breeds confidence. So the more of this sort of activity that we get, the better it is. And it's all coming from the agri sector, which is really no surprising. So I think this is a good announcement.
Good stuff. And the RB marking their own homework decided they could have done a bit better broadly.
Yeah. They released following fast on the heels of the new governor, several research papers yesterday. There's a lot of reading there. A review of monetary policy from 2017 to 22. In hindsight, earlier or more aggressive tightening might have reduced inflation sooner. Okay. There you go. You've got it. But look, at least they are looking at this stuff. From our point of view, we've got to deal with where inflation is right now, so it doesn't make a great deal of difference. But if they've learnt from their mistake, that's a good thing. And I'm looking forward to quality time today digesting all of that research.
Righto, numbers, please.
So the US, Mike, we've now got a looming government shutdown, and we're putting tariffs on movies. Nobody knows how you do that. Anyway, Dow Jones, 46,196. It's down 51 points. The S&P 500, 6,651. It's up 8 points. And the NASDAQ's up 100 points. That's 0.45%, 22,584. FTSE 100 overnight gained small, 15.16%. The Nikkei was down 311 points, just over 45,000 the close there. Shanghai Composite up 0.9, 3862. The Aussies gained 0.85% yesterday, and the NZX 50 closed at 13,132, up 20 points, 0.16%. Kiwi dollar still languishing, 0.5782 against the US, 0.8791, 0.4929 against the Euro, 0.4305 against the pound, 0.8591 Japanese yen. Gold is not languishing. It's $3,831, heading all the way to $4,000 probably. And Brent crude, $67.88.
Catch up tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.net. Nah, Glenn, JMI Wealth.
I thought we were done with that name.
What do you do?